Good morning. I was just thinking, as Ray was singing that song, I was thinking of yesterday, the opening lines, "Our scars are a sign." Barry gave a message yesterday, "Scars, marks, prison bars and dodgy tattoos." Only Barry can get away with that. It was a great message, wasn't it? Great day yesterday at the Fix Conference to hear stories of people's lives who have been in massive turmoil, turned around and Jesus led in. I think when Barry was the first speaker, as he does in his own way, Barry made an appeal. I think about 90 people responded in the first message, which is great, isn't it? And to see people who are sort of at the edge of things. I worked for a lot of years in that environment. I worked with people with alcohol and drug addiction. I worked in a homeless hostel. I worked with people with mental health. I was at one point deputy manager for a drop-in. People used to ask me, what do you do? What's your work? And my phrase used to be, I work up with people on the fringe or edge of society, which is what I call them, people that really were at that sharp edge. And part of our journey as leadership is looking to do something with those sort of people. You'll know that we're looking to purchase a house as a sort of place where people can come. Keep praying with us over that. It seems, for whatever reason, it's something God is doing with us as a fellowship. It's a great thing to be open and welcome people, isn't it? I'm looking this morning at Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. If you can put that up for me, Cain. I'm hoping this is what it says. "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast from the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, everyone straight in.'" It's Mark and I were talking the other day. We don't tend to preach a lot from the Old Testament. I don't know why that is. Some of it quite complicated. But there are lots of good lessons to learn from Old Testament stories. And I'm wanting to talk about particularly Joshua and the Battle of Jericho and what went on. I read a story when I was looking for illustration for this. I'm often thinking about I read a story, well, it's probably not true really, but it says there was a guy who became a new minister at a church, and part of what the church did, it ran a school, Christian school. When I was in Nottingham, the church there used to run a Christian school. It's called the King's School. Quite a number of them all over the place. And the minister was only there, he'd only been there a few days. He was asked to fill in for one of the teachers at the school. So he went along to conduct his lesson, and he thought, I know, I'll see where they're at. I'll ask the kids where they're at. So he said to his class, "Who knocked down the walls of Jericho?" Silence, and a little lad put his hand up at the back. "It wasn't me, sir." Then another lad put, "It wasn't me," and not the whole class. And he was very disappointed. He went back, called a meeting of the elders and the leaders of the church, said, "I'm really not very happy that, you know, the school." I went into the school, and they don't know who knocked down the walls of Jericho. So they're all looking at him. And one of the guys had been there a lot of years. One of the elders said, "I can see you're very upset about this. But I've known these boys a lot of years. If they said they didn't do it, they didn't do it." He said, "But we've got funds in the maintenance fund. We'll get some money out of the maintenance fund. We'll rebuild the wall. It'll be done with." Clearly, they didn't quite understand the Bible message of Joshua. I've got a little clip that maybe those of you who have not read the Old Testament will explain it in about 2 minutes better than I can do. Thank you, Ken. Can you put that video on? Okay, that's the story of Joshua and Jericho. And what I want to talk about this morning, how do we knock down walls in our way? We've all got obstacles, walls, sometimes that prevent us from doing the stuff we want to do, or more importantly, doing the stuff God wants us to do. We've all got different types of walls. At the start of the book of Joshua, if you read the book of Joshua, and if you haven't read it, it's probably a good book to read. Joshua follows on from Moses. It's really interesting for those of us who know the story. The Israelites were quite disobedient, really, in terms of getting into the promised land. In fact, out of that generation, only two of them made it into the promised land, Caleb and Joshua. But at the start of the book of Joshua, it said, verse 2 says, "Into the land I'm about to give them." Verse 3, "I give you every place where you set your foot." Verse 5, this is chapter 1, "No one will be able to stand against you." Verse 6, "You will lead these people to inherit the land." Pretty good promises, yeah? But notice something, quite fascinating really. All those promises, and yet there's still enemies and strongholds in the promised land. Jericho's fortified, massive city, big walls. It's something I think all of us need to bear in mind. Even with God with us, there are still walls in the way sometimes. Yes? Have you found that? I've said it before and I don't make any apologies. If you've heard a gospel that says it's all going to be smooth sailing and easy going, it's a different gospel to the one we're looking at. That isn't what the Bible teaches. It teaches we're in the world but not of it. "I have overcome the world," Jesus said. Don't panic about it, in other words. How do we knock down these walls? So Joshua and the Israelites faced the walls of Jericho despite the fact that God was with them. Is it a contradiction or a paradox? This is how my mind works. You know me well enough. You'll have to forgive me, those of you who do. It's all right, don't worry. We can handle that. I was thinking of a song by Coldplay. "Nobody said it was easy," the lines go. Nobody said it was easy. The Christian walk isn't always easy. I think Ray was saying this morning when he was leading the worship, there are some giants in your way and in your path. There are some walls in your way, some obstacles, some difficulties we've got to overcome. When God is with us, we still have to go out and break down the walls that are stopping us from reaching our fulfillment. We've still got to do the business. If you've been at home this week praying, "Lord, help me," and all you've done is sat at home, I tell you what, not much has happened. You've got to get out and do what God has said. God's done something in you, but actually, you've still got to do stuff. If it was as easy as that, we'd all stay at home and it'd all happen, wouldn't it? You know, when you pray, "God, give me money," and you look up at the ceiling, those pound notes are not, and fivers and tenors are not coming through the ceiling. I don't know, understand now why that doesn't work. That isn't how God works. He works through us. First of all, we knock down walls by relying on God. I know it's an obvious thing, but we need to understand where we need to rely on God. Joshua needed to go back to those promises. To remember, what as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I was thinking of this the other day. Where's she gone? She's over there. Sarah, when I saw her, Sarah was wearing this t-shirt. "Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." That's what he says to Joshua, isn't it? He was on a shirt. "Be bold, be strong. But you're with me, God, I don't need to do anything." No, you do. You've still got to do stuff. He needed to be reminded he wasn't Moses. If you keep comparing yourself to somebody else, it's not going to work. I've still got it at home. I thought of bringing it today, but I didn't. I've told you this probably before. I'll tell you again. Years ago, when I was at Nottingham and part of the ministry team there, we had a visiting speaker came, and we all sat round as leaders, and he went round the room laying hands on us and prophesying over each of us. And a guy went behind him with a dictaphone recording everything he said, and I've got mine typed out. Some of you know the guy, he's called Ray Bevan. Ray went round the room, and I've got one of mine says, "When you compare yourself to other men, you will diminish." And I've learned long ago to say, God, I might not be as good a singer as him. I might not be as good a preacher. It's about you and me. I don't care about other people. It's what you do in my life that counts. Don't compare yourself to other people. Joshua wasn't Moses. But God said, I tell you what, here's the deal. Just like I was with Moses, I'll be with you. He'd learnt a lot being with Moses and Joshua. That's for another day. But he'd seen stuff when he was with Moses. He'd seen how God worked. It's a great thing to have somebody mentor you. He had to follow the instructions of God. Have you ever seen a weirder plan about how to defeat an enemy than this? Walk round 6 times and walk round 7 times. I'm not sure if this is where we get the expression, 13 is unlucky, but it certainly was for them. If you get your numbers right, 6 times and 7 times, 13. Imagine that. Here's another odd thing for you. Did you realize that when we're worshipping, when Ray's leading worship and the singers are singing, God often can speak to us? Did you know that? I'm preaching this because as we were singing a song a couple of weeks ago, this is what God said to me. Walking around these walls, I thought by now, they're full. We sang it again this morning. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. What about the walls in your situation? Maybe you're at that point, day 3. You're having a laugh, Joshua, aren't you? Nothing's happening. I've been doing this for a while now. It's day 5. You've got to be kidding. Can you imagine? Sounds great on paper, doesn't it, when we read the story, but when you're going through it, it's not as easy. I'm sure, Joshua, yeah, when they blow the trumpets, it'll all happen. Oh, yeah, I can see that coming. But he had to follow the instructions to the letter. You know, sometimes we don't get what God has got for us because we don't do what God has told us. You need to go and apologize that, oh, I'm not doing that, God. Don't ask me to do that. That's too hard. You can be Lord of all sorts. Well, not that bit. You can't have that bit. I'm not doing that. It'll stop you receiving what God's got for you. I've got down here because I like to try and illustrate. I think it's better for you to understand about my personal life and illustrate rather than just book things. When I was at Clarendon, I went to get... I changed tack, really. I got made redundant and I thought, well, I've got a theology degree and I can do a bit. Maybe I'll go into teaching. And they advertised a job at Clarendon, teaching RE at A-level. I thought, ooh, I'll have a go for that. So I went for interview. They appointed me, but what they didn't tell me was they hadn't taught RE for 25 years at Clarendon. They had no curriculum, no nothing. Said, there you go, set it up. And I'm like, me? Got no teaching qualifications. I set it up from scratch, the whole thing. But after 2 years, they said, your contract, we're not going to renew your contract. And I was quite disappointed about that. But actually, some of you may or may not know, my family links are, one of Sue's daughters is a teacher, has been for years, her husband's a teacher. And Rachel said to me, actually, they haven't done things quite right. You're supposed to be under supervision. You've not really had any. You've not had a lot of support. Why don't you fight it? Get involved. Get someone from the union or whatever. And I said, I'll have to go and pray and see what God says. And I didn't feel that's what God said to me. Despite that's what my advice was. And Rachel knows her stuff. And I think, if you like, legally, technically, I could have argued it. But God said to me, no, don't. Have a gracious attitude and show by your attitude what you believe. And my boss said to me a couple of weeks before I finished, I can see you've been working on the computer. What have you been doing? So I said, I've been putting all my notes from the classes I've taught onto the computer. He said, you don't need to do that. Somebody will come in. I said, no, but they can benefit from what I've done. I don't want them to start from scratch, as I had to do, nothing. But all my lessons are there. So I inputted it onto the computer. And she said, I'm really amazed at what's going on after what's happened. And I said, but that's how it should be. That's how to be gracious. Sometimes you've got to follow what God says, not what men say. To be honest, I'm pretty sure I could have had a case legally. But so what? Some walls appear strong, but are not strong. Did you know that? I was interested listening to Barry yesterday when he said he left school with nothing, Barry Woodward, and he ended up at Cliff College thinking, I'm really a fish out of water. My story is a little bit similar. I left school at 15 with no qualifications. I used to go to St. Greg's in Ardwick Green. I was at a grammar school. Woohoo! Supposed to be bright. And then later on in life, when I feel God's calling me to study, I wanted to do a theology degree. Bit of a problem here. I want to go to university and I haven't got a bean to my name. No GCSEs, no nothing. And I approached Nottingham University and they said, you'll have to sit an entrance exam in order to get into the university. And me, as usual, with my lack of understanding about academics, I think I'd sort of gone to see them in late July and the term was starting in September. He gave me a book to read by a guy called William Barclay about the creeds. It's about 300 pages long. Study that, you'll get a test on it. Anyway, long story short, I got into Nottingham University. I went on to Sheffield to do an MA. I used to say to people, I'm a real oddity. I've got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, but I've got no GCSEs. Because sometimes what appears a wall isn't. This is a barrier. There's no way you can qualify, Jed. You haven't got anything to your name. It's not going to happen. Don't go. As somebody said to me, and I often quote this, you don't want to study theology, it'll take your faith away. Yeah, right, here I am. The guy who used to teach me, taught me, and daft thing really, Paul didn't write the letter to Ephesians. That's what he believed, that's what he taught me. When my exam came up from the New Testament, there's a question on who was the author to the epistle to Ephesians, and I argued it was Paul. I passed. It's just an idea and a conviction. You don't have to take it on board. So yeah, very nice. I don't agree. This is what I think. Don't let things that appear to be in your way be bigger than they are. Some people have said stuff over you. Don't let it hold you. My son's into reading, probably gets it from me. He's got read a book called The Art of War. Don't any of you know about it? Yeah. Here's a couple of phrases, Bill. You would be the sort of person who'd read it. Oh, he's very into stuff. He's very knowledgeable. I admire him for that. Thank you. But don't answer my questions because you make me look silly. All right. The Art of War. You can be sure of succeeding in your attacks if you only attack places which are undefended. Look for the bits where you can get in. You may advance and be absolutely irresistible if you make for the enemy's weak points. Did you know our enemy has lots of weak points? You've heard me say it numbers of times. I'll say it again. Satan is not everywhere at once. So this magic phrase when people come, Satan's troubling me. I say, that's good. He can't be troubling me then, can he? There's only one of him. It's not like God. He can't be everywhere. God is there everywhere. He's omnipresent. Satan isn't. The Bible says he prowls around as a roaring lion. What does that mean? It means he's not one. As. He pretends to be. What is it, the phrase? The bark's worse than the bite. Pretends to be. We've got one who's called the Lion of Judah. Praise, Judah means. Maybe you've allowed words to become stronger than they are. Somebody once came to me in a previous church I was involved in, said their life was a mess, they felt unfruitful because they'd been cursed by somebody. Not uncommon in the circles they were mixing in. I dealt with a girl who'd been involved, whose family was involved in spiritualism. She was quite messed up. Proverbs 26:2 says this, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. We're free. When I got saved, God made me free. Nothing from the other side is bigger than him. I want to tell you this morning, whatever situation you're in, whatever problem you've got, he's bigger. I can quote you the scriptures, you all know them. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There are two kingdoms, darkness and light. We belong to the stronger one. I think it's Oscar Wilde says, you know, I've read the book and I know what the end says. We win. Might not feel like that some days, but it's true. Don't be conned into thinking your enemy is more powerful than he is. Some walls appear strong, but they're not. Don't let it defeat you. Some walls have gaps and weak points. Did you know that? Any of you, I'm probably weird, but you all know that by now. Any of you into things like medieval architecture, castles? Any of you been to castles? Anyone been to Warwick? Good castle. Windsor. Queen invites me occasionally to go up and have tea with her. What's the weakest part in any castle? Anybody know? Fingers on the buzzer for this one. No? It's the door. It's the entrance. It's the entrance. It's the gate in. It's the weakest part. Maybe you're facing a wall of a lack of finance. And you're looking and thinking, there's no way through this. Well, if you're in that position, certainly we've got a very practical answer. She's sat on the front row here. Lisa works for CAP. CAP deal with financial problems far better than I can deal with them. Obviously, God can help, but the practical bit, sometimes we need some help and support. If you need help and support in that, see Lisa. If it's not appropriate for Lisa to talk with you, she can point you somewhere else. Maybe that can help. Sometimes we don't get help because we don't go and ask for it. We're proud people, aren't we? I went through a situation when I got divorced. My wife disappeared, left me with three kids. We had problems financially before she left. And she was on a better wage than I was. She was a nurse earning good money. And I'm like, you're having a laugh. How am I going to do this? Financial difficulties. And obviously there's a bit of you kicks in as a bloke. I don't know if it's a man thing. I'm too proud to say. One of the guys from work came round one morning to give me a lift. Sort of said, you're in a bit of a mess, aren't you? I said, don't say anything. I don't want anyone to know. I used to go to work. This is true. Go to work, and at dinner time, now and again, I had court appointments to go and see what was happening about my kids, what was happening about the house, family welfare. Then I'd go back to work, and nobody knew. Because I was too proud to say, I need help. If you're in that place, reach out. Lisa said this morning, we're brothers and sisters. We need support. We need help. I found out to my cost that sometimes it was difficult to ask for help. I'm trying to give you illustrations from my own situation. I hope this helps. I've told this story before, but in a few weeks, Ian Watson's coming. I've not got all my brains there, as you know. Around about, where were we? 1980 Bible College. My brother had disappeared off to Israel and said to me, why don't you come and see me? So I said to Ian, let's go to Israel. He said, what? So I drew £50 out and got a map, and that was me. I'm sorted. Let's go to Israel. As you do. Hitchhiked from Manchester to Israel. Checked up before I went with the Foreign Office. Do I need visas? No, you don't. Got to the border of Syria and they said, you need a visa to come in here. I said, but we're told by the Foreign Office we don't. No, I'm sorry, you'll have to go back to Turkey and get a visa. So I said, where in Turkey can I get a visa? There are only three places in Turkey I could get a visa. Istanbul, Ankara and Izmir. I've been through all of them. So I left Ian in a park, as you do. Said, if I'm not back in 3 days, go home. And I went travelling on coach. But the thing is, I went to apply for a visa with the person who wanted the visa wasn't even with me. Ian wasn't there. How I got a visa, I don't know, but I did. I got two visas. We managed eventually to get to Israel. Sometimes there are gaps and weak points in the wall that God can exploit if you've got the faith to believe it. You've got to sometimes face the giant, as Ray would say. Face the wall and say, I'm not being put off. God has said. I was praying with Bob this morning when we were doing our prayer thing, just reminded of Moses. They hit the Red Sea, don't they, with the army behind them. They're going, oh, let's go back to Egypt, it was better there. God says to Moses, stand still and you will see the salvation of God. The most difficult bit for many of us is standing still. We want to go and all sort it out ourselves. It'll all work, I can do it, Superman is here. Sometimes we've got to go, God, show me a way where there isn't a way. I can't. It's all right to say to God, I don't understand, I can't see a solution. He says, it's okay, I'll sort it. You have to understand it all. Walls, here's an odd one. Walls are there for protection, not only defense. Walls were a place where the village, the community came in to be protected. I'm thinking about this quite a bit. Generally, we think of walls as means of defense, but often the local community gathered within them to remain safe and protected. Here's a strange thought for you. Hold on to your seats. Some of the walls we encounter, and we think that actually they're put there by our enemies, some of the walls are put there by God to stop us going down the wrong paths. To protect us. To stop us going the wrong way. Maybe we've all had those early things in relationships. Oh, this will be the person I'm marrying. Actually, it's not a good thing. This is the way I'm going to get that job, no matter what. And sometimes you start kicking down doors and walls on your own that God says, no, I don't want you to go that way. Stop. Remember the scripture I preached from a number of months ago. Paul wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit forbade him. Paul said, but this is a great thing. I want to preach the gospel. And God said, I've got something better for you. Elsewhere. And he had the dream of the man from Macedonia. Come over here and help us. God sometimes has got other plans, and we're trying to run down an alley with a wall there. Saying, it's in my way. The devil's in that. I'm going to knock it down. And God's saying, no, no, I'm in that. Stop. I've put it there to stop you doing yourself more harm. I thank God for a number of times God has put a wall up and stopped me doing myself harm. Because if I set my mind, I'm very stubborn, as my wife will tell you. If I set my mind to do something, generally speaking, I go to do it. Sometimes God's got to stop me. And if you're open, you'll sometimes see the flashing light that says, no, okay, thank you, God. You know, those daft prayers we pray, maybe it's only me. God, I'm praying that within 7 days, if you don't do it. Stupid people. Don't put a time frame on God. Who are you to tell God when he should do things? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and it don't work. It's really weird. But sometimes we put limitations on God by the way we act. I had a great illustration yesterday. I'm like, blew me away that. The guy in prison shared his illustration. I actually wanted to believe in God, but he was all over the place. And he said, you know, looked out of his window every day, seeing the pigeons. Said, God, tomorrow morning, if I wake up and you send a white dove, I'll know it's you. Guess what? A white dove showed up. You're like, oh my goodness. How gracious is God? Sometimes he succumbs to our limitations. He's not limited, but he says, okay, if it helps you, I'll do it. Remember the story of Joseph. Through the difficulties, he said to his brothers, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. Would you like Joseph's story? Throw him in a pit, that'll get rid of him. Sell him into slavery, get accused of rape, get put in prison, spend 13 years there. That'd be good, wouldn't it? We read the Bible and we don't read the bits in between sometimes where he had to prove his faith. And he says to the guy who has the dream, remember me. And the guy forgot all about him. God didn't forget about Joseph. Some of what you're going through at the moment, it looks like it's harmful, but it'll come out good if you trust God. Perhaps you're trying to kick down a wall, actually not meant to be brought down. Thank you, Bill. One of my favorite psalms is this, Psalm 18. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. If you're perhaps near me in a prayer meeting, you might hear me quoting that. I often pray that out loud. With your help, I can scale a wall. With your help, I can advance against a troop. It is God who trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend the bow of bronze. This is what I quote to myself, because that's what the Word says. That's what God has spoken to me. I tell you what, you need to quote the Scripture when you're praying. The Word itself is living and active. It's powerful. It puts the enemy to flight. If you haven't done it, memorize some verses. Get your phone out. If you see me, often see me these days, I'm getting old, my memory's not as good. I get my phone out, what am I doing? I'm looking up a verse on Google. I know the verse in my head, but I don't know where it is. And it tells me. It's a great thing. God will only bring back to your memory what you've read. Can't bring back what you haven't read. Read the Word. Donna, you are down on my notes. Did you know that? I went to listen. My wife encouraged me to go and listen to her singing in a choir a couple of weeks ago that Donna's part of. One of the songs you sing has this line in it. You hide behind walls of Jericho. Your lies will come tumbling. Something inside so strong. I know that I can make it, though you're doing me wrong. It's a song by Labby Siffre. Something inside so strong. We have something inside so strong. Holy Spirit lives in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead works in your mortal body. Did you know that? You know it, but do you know it? You know it up here, do you know it in there? For those listening by tape, I'm pointing at my head and my heart. We know it in our head, but we need to know it in our heart. The Bible says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Some of us are not asking. Or we're not asking for the right thing. I'll finish with this illustration. Thank you for this, Bill. It's reported that a soldier of Alexander the Great had come to him and asked for money to start a project. The soldier had said, I know that you're a great man and you've conquered many nations. So please allow me this one small favour. Alexander said, go and see my treasurer and tell him I sent you. He will give you some money. A while later, the treasurer came to see Alexander quite concerned. He has asked for a very large amount of money. What should I do? Alexander replied, he has treated me like a king, so I shall respond like a king. Give him whatever he wants. Go to the king who's got everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. What's the scripture Mark's continually quoting to us? He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. I could go up and down the rows today and say to you, not one of you are left out. God has given you whatever you need. Sometimes you've got to stand still and see it happen. Hold your ground. Ephesians 6 says, having done all, pray in the Spirit, even though you've put their armor on, stand your ground. Other times you've got to say, God, I'm asking. I'm still asking. Here we are 3 years down the line. Some of you 5, 20 years down the line still asking. God knows that. It's a great thing. God, what the song's saying, Ray's songs, God is faithful. God is faithful. Most of us here can testify to that. How do we knock down walls? If you've got walls in your way, my advice is look to God to sustain you. Look to some of the practical supports. Talk to somebody else who's in faith. Better to talk to somebody in faith. I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to finish. Father, we've all got walls and obstacles in our way. And sometimes you don't always take them out of our way. A bit like Paul, we've got to live with that thorn in the flesh. But we're living for something bigger than today. One day, I'm going to be in heaven with you. And whatever's gone on here is momentary compared to that. Help us to have that attitude that understands that actually being with you is the ultimate goal. Becoming like you is the ultimate goal. It's not about me. I'm not the center of the universe, even though sometimes I think I am. We bow to you again this morning, Lord. God Almighty, who spoke the world into being. What a thing it is that you even bother to talk with us. That you bother to get involved in our lives. You don't need us. You can do it all, but you've chosen to use us. Thank you for the privilege of being your servants. Help us not to get fazed by the walls in front of us. We know, just like Jericho, you'll say, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. We raise a shout to you today. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done in our lives. Amen.